The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this Sunday, which celebrates the Ascension of our Lord. Today, we will hear and reflect on our Gospel from St. Mark. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Children are 24% of our U.S. population, but 100% of our future. The Children and Family Services Department of Catholic Charities offers the Parents as Teachers program. Parents, who are their child's first teacher, increase their knowledge of early childhood development. Children of program graduates score higher on kindergarten readiness tests, are better problem solvers, and are more advanced in language and social development. Catholic Charities is now enrolling parents of children up to age 5. And yes, the program is free. However, space is limited. So call Catholic Charities today for more information. 361-884-0651 and visit catholiccharities-cc.org. As stated at the beginning, children are 24% of our U.S. population, but 100% of our future.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm fine.
Good.
I hope you and all our listeners are doing well this morning.
Yes, yes.
Getting ready for a warm summer, I guess.
Yes, yes. And, of course, it's getting near the time when school's going to be out.
Right.
So a lot of very happy children and teachers.
Seen many of them in parishes I've been visiting lately. So, yeah, they're all happy and ready to go.
Yes, they are. As I mentioned at the top of the program, our gospel this morning is from St. Mark. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Yes, and just to mention that today is the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord. It's normally celebrated on a Thursday, Ascension Thursday, when I was growing up, and you as well, but it has been moved to the Sunday. So today we are celebrating the Ascension of the Lord into heaven. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak new languages, they will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in this gospel, we have a pretty vivid scene that we could picture in our minds, I think, that he, before Jesus returns to his Father's side, he's talking to his disciples, and he wants them to go out and spread the word.
Right, and it's certainly a scene of a bit of sadness and yet preparation to go forth. The sadness, of course, is that he will be taken from their sight, and I would say again, because at the death of the Lord and his burial, that they were taken from his sight, but then rose again 3 days later and spent these days with them. That's what we've been celebrating now for this whole Easter season, or the apparitions of Jesus coming back to his disciples to encourage them and to prepare them for this moment, that it is now turned over to them to go forth. I think it would be good just this morning to look a little bit at just this idea of going forth into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Many times today, I think in what we're experiencing with, with the competition that seems to exist or does exist in the world of religion, and unfortunately leading to the death of many Christians and others as well, but in the name of religion. And that is an aggression that is fueled with an anger. There's something that is, I would say, diabolical with all of that. But this is not what Jesus told us. Do not go with aggression and anger or even to proselytize. And this is something that I think we all need to look at, people of every faith. We're not here to proselytize. We are sent by Jesus to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I read the gospel, and as many others, and even our Holy Father, when he's in his apostolic letter of the joy of the gospel, and even Pope Benedict spoke of we're not here to proselytize, which means to have someone change from one religion to another. But we're here to speak the truth, which has come from the mouth of Jesus Christ, which also in recent Sundays we've heard, whoever hears me hears the Father. The words I speak are not mine, they are the Father's. They are eternal words. What Jesus spoke were eternal words, which means that they are the words from God meant for us. When we look at going into the world with the gospel as if it's some kind of a system that we are to change people from one persuasion to another, the gospel is meant for us. The words of Jesus that are reported in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are aimed at the human person, aimed at the human soul. As I heard recently, God doesn't speak at us. He speaks in us, to us. He wants it to come out of us. The Second Vatican Council oftentimes spoke of Jesus revealing our true self to us through his word. So this going into the whole world with the gospel is really to proclaim the truth of ourselves. And we could take different paragraphs or sentences even from the gospel and use them to show how they do reveal the truth of ourselves. In other words, I am myself when I love my neighbor. I know I've told this story oftentimes when I was telling it in one of the parishes the other day of being on an airplane and not wanting to get involved with the person next to me because I wanted to sleep and the transatlantic flight, not to arrive with too much jet lag, etc. And I realized I'd closed myself off. But by circumstances, had to open myself up and enter into a conversation for 8 hours on the plane. But in that, the Lord reveals who we are. We're not people to close up. We're not people to block others out. That's not who we are, to live in enclaves within ourselves, but to do as God does, to love everyone, even the neighbor that sits next to me, the person I live with every day. And sometimes we have to go way beyond ourselves, beyond our feelings, our emotions, our problems, our personal resentments, whatever it is against any person or just because we're having a bad day. So there's a way that we're called to overcome ourselves. That's the gospel. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about spread the gospel. Now, the church has a wealth, 2,000 years of teaching, in the apologetic world. But all of that is there to support the gospel. The gospel's first. And these other realities of our theology, of our teaching, are there to support our moral teaching, is to support the truth of the person, the truth of the Word of God. But sometimes we use all of that as a weapon against others. You don't believe this, and so we come after you. And that is not what Jesus had intended here today. Many times we undo the truth of the gospel just by our attitude or, as I said, our anger or aggression. And that's in every religion. I mean, God is God for all of us. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's in every religion. That particular commandment or that particular reality is in every religion. And if we just accomplish that, we would have an open channel of dialogue, of understanding with each other, so that we could find the truth together. And this is what Jesus intended, is to go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature, which means proclaim to them who they are through my words.
And actions?
And actions, certainly, eventually. But I mean, I think it's we have to assimilate, we have to take in to ourselves the truth of those words. Many times in the world of religion, we go through the motions, we follow the dictates that are given to us, and we become faithful to that particular, to our religion, you know, faithful Catholics. But yet we can turn around and block somebody out of our life or prevent somebody from having any kind of part or role in my life. So all of this is what Jesus is intending by saying, go into the world and proclaim the good news by your life and by your action, who you are, so that you can also reveal to others who they are. I think if we go back to the very beginning, when Jesus came to us, God so loved the world that he sent his only son into the world. So he sent him as that revealing truth so that people could gravitate around him, find in him, find in Jesus the way, the truth, and the life for themselves as well. I mean, to find themselves reflected in Jesus, and then ultimately Jesus finding himself in us. Or at the baptism of the Lord, or on the Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. We have all these indications that God sent his Son to reveal himself to us and to reveal ourselves to ourselves.
And I'm glad you clarified about the not to proselytize, because I think sometimes the word proselytize and evangelization can be used together.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're
not.
So no, different.
Absolutely, absolutely. No. The whole word evangelization refers to what I was just talking about, is to be that good news ourselves and to spread that by word and by action. And spreading it, I mean by the joyful proclamation that if your life is miserable, here's the solution for you. You know, and not not some theory that if you latch on to my theory or our theory that you're going to do anything. But you know, also going back, I just want to make sure it's very clear. I'm not putting down theology or morality. I mean, the moral teaching of the church that reveals the truth as well. But sometimes people have a hard time getting into that without first of all recognizing the simplicity and the beauty of the gospel itself lived. The gospel's first. I talked to a friend of mine in Ireland the other day who's a bishop, and he was saying that it's a long story, but I won't tell the whole thing, but he said that we are the most catechized country in the world because their school system is linked to the church. So everybody goes through catechism for 12 years. He said, I did confirmation, and they know their faith like you wouldn't believe. We may not be the most evangelized. So, in other words, has the gospel, we can do the theory from the head, but has the heart been drawn into all of this? Have the words of Jesus really taken root in our lives so that our actions reflect who we really are in Jesus Christ?
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Since God created the family, he also included a plan for its growth. It's called natural family planning. He didn't intend for us to rely on medications, devices, or surgery. More and more married couples are learning how to plan their families naturally. Discover what God has to say about married love in classes conducted by registered nurses Steve and Ann Craig, who've been teaching natural family planning for over 25 years. Local in-person classes are not being held at present. Online instruction is rapidly becoming very popular. For more complete information, visit nfpandmore.org and read up on it a bit. Then call and register for the next natural family planning class. You'll save time, worry, and money by not paying huge medical bills. and learning how to control your own life the natural way. 361-384-0067.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, there's another part of this gospel that says, and it's in the first part of the gospel, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. I like to focus on the part of being saved.
Well, I think we need to focus on both. I mean, we can't edit the
right.
Word of God, so not as a correction, but I know that's easier to do one. But I think, you know, the reality here is, what does it mean to be baptized?
Right.
It means to accept. It means to be enter into the life of Christ, the life of His Word, the life of God, the life of grace. So whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So again, it's not a magical formula. I mean, there are many that are baptized that reject that along the way or don't listen to the Word. And so then he says, whoever does not believe will be condemned. So even if one's baptized but stops believing, they're condemned. But I think it's important to go back to what Jesus says in the Gospel of John, that, you know, I don't condemn you, and, you know, I as a priest or bishop don't condemn you. You know, Jesus says, by the very mere fact of the Word condemns you. In other words, the Word forms us, the Word of God, the truth of Jesus, the truth of God in Jesus. I mean, it's there. This is it. This is the way, the truth, and the life. So if I reject that, if I ignore it, or I just say, I want to live my life the way I want to live my life, push it aside. I mean, I've done it myself. So I think that's something that we need to realize here, that Jesus gives us all of this from God to reveal that to us. He's not a prophet in that sense. He is the Son of God. He is the embodiment. He is the incarnation of the truth of God. And there is, to be baptized then is to be baptized into Him. As St. Paul in his letters has the great, you know, are you not aware that you are baptized into Christ Jesus? And baptized into Him, you're baptized into His death. So you die to your old self, and you rise again to a new life, and you struggle with that all your life. And you receive forgiveness through the sacrament of reconciliation. So it's a process. It's a whole life, and a beautiful life at that. It's not something, again, that's imposed from outside. It's within us, and it's called forth through the Word, through Jesus. God so loves us that He gave us His Son to call all of this original plan of God out of us, but to cooperate with that, with the Holy Spirit, and that's the other part of baptism, that we're incorporated into Christ through the Holy Spirit, so that we have the Spirit to guide us and be our helper throughout life. Mm-hmm. So it's an openness to that, it's an acceptance of that. To not believe, in other words, to reject all that is, well, you know, the word condemn, it sounds, we don't like to hear those negative things today. We've sanitized our language and our mind so much that anything negative, we don't want to hear that. But truth is truth.
Right.
But it's nothing to fear. I mean, it's to proclaim what is possible for us, not to. I mean, I think this is the tone of the church has changed a lot, is not to set up a bunch of rules and regulations to jump through hoops, blah, 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 and, you know, that you're condemned if you don't do all of this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The tone of our proclamation is today, here is a gift for you. Here is the mercy of God. All you have to do is come accept it. All you have to do is open your heart to it, to be guided through it, to this truth, which is the truth of life, the truth of eternity. And all of that's there. So I think it's important that when we look at that sentence in particular, to go into the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature, and those who are baptized and believe will be saved, and those who do not, condemn, really. I think we get, with the commentary from the other Gospel of John, condemn yourself because you've closed your heart to God's call to you in His Son Jesus. So all of this is I think part of this whole ascension is Jesus is preparing His disciples. Now you go, and of course, you know, we could get into a whole discussion with the Second Vatican Council of the truth of Christ in other religions, and so it's certainly this conversation today is not condemning anyone. It's a mere expose of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. So there's many other discussions that could be had around this, because the light of faith can come in other forms for those who do not have the possibility of knowing Christ through the gospel, or don't have the gospel preached to them, or whatever, but to find the seeds of truth. And that was the real ecumenical dialogue that the church calls us to find the seeds of truth in all religions, with an interreligious dialogue. So that's something that the church is very interested in, and it's all of us bishops are very interested in how to dialogue with one another in such a way that we can discover the truth that God has given to us that's present in all religions. The truth that God has given to us and that's present in all religions.
You had also mentioned to me during the break that there was one of our readings today is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians.
Well, yes. Of course, as you know, the letters of Paul also kind of unfold the reality. So we still have the reality of the ascension, you know. That,
right.
And, of course, people want to know, where did it happen? How did it happen? How many miles up into heaven did he go before he was not seen? You know, and these kind of
right.
technical things. Well, but St. Paul understands what that meaning is. And I think you brought also a beautiful quote from Pope Benedict that we can use as well. But just to comment or read the second reading for Mass today. And, of course, there's two options. So if you don't hear it directly like this, then you the priest at the parish chose the other option. But it says, May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. So again, this reality of entering into Christ's life, baptism, is that God may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowing him. So the whole process here is to know him, to get to know him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. What are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, love, and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So St. Paul is speaking, you know, may this life, may this gospel that is given to you, may it enter into your life, enlighten your mind and your heart, first of all, with a knowledge of God's love and mercy for you. And then may the Lord put into you a hope that you live with him forever as well, and knowing that Christ is above every principality, which means that the truth that Jesus has given to us from the Father is above every government. It's above every Supreme Court. There is a law of God that is written in our hearts, what we call natural law. It is so much a part of us and our human existence that to try to regulate through laws and court decisions, to tell the human person who you are from the courts or any type of elected government or any type of government, that is can destroy the beauty of God's life in us. And so Jesus is above all of that. And it's incumbent upon us who are men and women of faith to look to Jesus Christ, to refocus our attention on the way, the truth, and the life, to hear him out, to hear his word, to let his word be assimilated into us, that we don't have to go around with aggression and anger, but we do stand up for the truth that is in Christ, that has been revealed to us from God in Christ, and that the church continues to proclaim in all corners of the world.
It was a beautiful passage from St. Paul. Well, I had found in the Magnificat that Pope Benedict XVI had written about the ascension, and to quote him here, he said, "The meaning of Christ's ascension expresses our belief that in Christ the humanity that we all share has entered into the inner life of God in a new and heretofore unheard of way. It means that man has found an everlasting place in God. It would be a mistake to interpret the ascension as the temporary absence of Christ from the world. Rather, we go to heaven to the extent that we go to Jesus Christ and enter into him. Heaven is a person. Jesus himself is what we call heaven." It's a little profound.
Well, yeah.
A bit profound.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, you know, again, another commentary on that is from Jesus himself, who said, "I am with you always until the end of time." Well, time has not ended yet. So there he is present. So this is, you know, the problem today is that the society around us has blocked out any kind of divine presence, any kind of supernatural or transcendent thought. So it's either here now. In fact, I heard this yesterday watching the news, someone, I think it was a commercial or something. Well, we only have the here and now. Well, no, you don't only have the here and now. We have the hereafter. So this is what we believe, and when we block that reality from our minds, we blocked life. Mm-hmm. So the ascension tells us, "I'm here with you. You don't see me. I'm beyond time and space. I'm with the Father, but you have the Holy Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. Stay with me. Love Jesus Christ." That, to me, is the strongest message today that we can give on this Feast of the Ascension. And people do ask, well, what is heaven? And I love this part here at the end. Heaven is a person. Jesus himself is what we call heaven. So if you're in Jesus, you're in heaven, already here on earth, awaiting the new heavens and the new earth. You know, I think to continue trying to explain it anymore would be useless, because it's just the person. And that person can give us light, life, love, peace, joy, everything that we want. But you can't, as I tell the kids at confirmation, you can't buy it.
Right.
You can only live it and find it.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing for us to continue to think about and do. Well, Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Gladness with holy joys, Almighty God, and make us rejoice with devout thanksgiving, for the ascension of Christ your Son is our exaltation. And where the head has gone before in glory, the body is called to follow in hope. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you this day and always, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.